Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite runners to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Previously on The Rundown with Jenna Crawford.
But what I realized is, wow, I'm able to maintain a decent level of fitness. which made me less afraid to jump into things like unsanctioned races, similar to like Take the Bridge, that would, you know, pop up with, you know, youth registration opens 2 weeks before or whatever. Whereas times where I'm like, oh, I'm not fit, I haven't been running, I'm like, okay, well, whatever, I prove that I can show up on the track every couple months and survive. So it gave me confidence to kind of jump into more of that.
On this episode of The Rundown, we got to know marathoner, community leader, and co-founder of We Run 313, Lance Woods. Lance moved away from his hometown of Detroit to pursue education, and when he returned, his focus shifted to bettering his community and sharing his passion for running with everyone. In only a few years, Lance and his team have built something lasting and life-changing through this sport we all love. He's also pursuing his own goals as he prepares to take on his first ever Boston Marathon this spring. Today's athletes are surrounded by technology. We're getting feedback on our training, recovery, and sleep too. Coaches and programs help us perform our best, but our body's motion is complex and hard to optimize. That's where Plantiga can help all athletes train smarter, go farther, and move better. Plantiga has created an insole with sensors that will detect your every move. Paired with AI-driven software and a personal movement coach, you can finally take control of your own mechanics to optimize every stride. It's even trusted by some of the best athletes in the world, including Andre DeGrasse and Rachel McBride. So go to plantiga.com/membership and learn how to build athletic longevity, prevent injury, and increase your body's resilience. If you like what you see, use promo code LARUNDOWN to get early access to Plantiga today. In this week's news, as many predicted, Eliud Kipchoge and Bridget Koske came away victorious at the Tokyo Marathon. Kipchoge has now won 4 of the 6 world majors, with only Boston and New York left to complete. At this rate, he'll get it done, as he remains dominant in every race he competes in. Even a wrong turn in Tokyo couldn't stop the GOAT from completing the race in course record time, and only 1 minute off the world record. Koske had an exceptional day in her own right, leading the race from start to finish, crossing the line in 2 hours, 16 minutes, and 2 seconds. That was also a course record for her as well. It's an incredible time to be a fan of this sport, limits being pushed further and further back. It's impressive what these athletes are achieving, and there will be more results like this in the near future, I'm sure. Make sure to check the show notes for links to this article, special offerings, as well as the ongoing protests. There will also be a list of funds and foundations that need your support, so please consider donating to help support this movement. That's all for now. Gotta run. Part of what I love about this podcast is it allows us to connect with runners and run leaders and community builders all over the place, whether it's overseas, in North America, it doesn't really matter. There's people all over the place. Spreading the love, spreading their knowledge with others and helping make the space a better place. And running is the common theme with this podcast. It helps connect everybody. And my next guest is an educator, mentor, and a leader in the Detroit community. He's won multiple awards. He's got a very successful run club, and I'm curious to see, you know, how he's gotten to this point and how he manages everything. So I'd like to welcome to the show Lance Woods.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for the warm welcome.
You're welcome. Pleasure to have you on. And I can imagine you're experiencing some similar, like, snowy, cold conditions like we are here in Montreal.
Yes, it's very cold here. It's about 18 degrees right now. And yesterday there wasn't any snow, but today there's snow. So I'm not running outside. When it's snow on the ground, I try my best not to run outside. It depends. But if the roads are clear, I'll give it a go. But I'll have to just turn it over to the treadmill because it's just unbearable sometimes.
Which is another different kind of training altogether, the treadmill thing, as I'm discovering, having to do that a little bit more. It's a whole different set of mental skills that you need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you get a bit of both, because right now I'm training for Boston Marathon. So, you know, some, like yesterday I did my tempo run. It was an eight mile tempo, which was good. It was cold, but there was no snow. So the roads were clear. I was able to go at it. But there's times where I have to get on a treadmill and do a tempo, and it's like, oh my God, I like to be outside, but some days the weather just doesn't agree with me in my training. So I have to take it to the treadmill.
I saw you, and I've run Boston before. Is it your first Boston, by the way, or?
My first Boston.
Amazing. Yep. That's so cool.
Yep, first one.
Just enjoy your first one. That's always my best advice. But you know, going through the training, especially for a spring marathon, is tough. And you know, winter is hard enough, especially if you're north like us, and with the winter and they're harsh, the conditions are tough and stuff. But I saw your post yesterday about the training that you did, and that, you know, sometimes it's hard to get out the door, you know?
Oh yeah.
Even though you're motivated to do it, you know, mm-hmm. and you have a goal in mind, but not all days, you know, there are a lot of hard days in a marathon build.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard days. I mean, and that's the power of like the mental that you get from running. I mean, from running, right? From running. Well, I don't know what I'm talking about. but yesterday it was rain. I don't know where that came from, but that's the power that you get from running, right? So it's like you go through this battle of like, you know, you drag your feet to get out the door, you drag your feet to get onto the treadmill, but it's like once you get there, it's like, okay, it's just you in the road, or it's just you in the treadmill. And then you have that time with yourself to really kind of meditate and figure out how to keep going through the run. And that's what I enjoy about it. It's like, you know, you got to figure out a way to find yourself within it, to find the strength to do the thing that you may not necessarily want to do, but it's powering in that, right? So this is my second time actually doing a marathon training block. I don't know if you are familiar with Hansen's marathon method. That's the training block that I'm using, or the training plan that I'm using. And it's an interesting training plan. It's difficult, but it's just, marathon training in itself is just challenging, because first you go through the marathon training block to train to get into Boston, then you find yourself, I had to go another year, because once I got into Boston, it was like 2 days after the cutoff to apply. So I had to go another year from 2021, when I knew I had to qualify in time, to apply for 2022. And then you want to train because you don't want to run a bad marathon. So it's like, okay, now I'm going through the training block again, because now I have this mindset that I want to beat my marathon time that I got to get in at Boston. So, yeah.
That's big goal.
Yeah, big goal. But it's that gratification that you get. It's like beating your previous time, or becoming a better version of yourself, or seeing how you can take it, or how far you can take it in running. It's a confidence boost, and that kind of trickles to different areas of your life. You know, if I can wrap my mind around all of the time it takes and all of the effort and energy it takes to make it successfully through a marathon training block, I feel like I can accomplish anything in the world.
Yeah, that's half the battle, you know? I mean,
yeah.
You know, really, I mean, the race is top, but you, if you're honest with yourself and you put in all the work, that's that's where the war is, you know. The race is just gravy after that, you know.
Right.
You know, we don't know what kind of day we're going to have ever, really. I mean, there's so many factors, but if you stay within what you can control, then that's where the magic really happens, you know.
Yeah, so I don't come from a background of running or runners in my family at all, right? So like my mother and my father and my brother, they think I'm crazy to be running all of these miles. Like even just saying like, oh, you ran 26.2 miles, you know, for the marathon. And I'm like, yeah, but that's the last. That like the marathon is like the race, and I'm excited to be there because I done went through hundreds of miles to even get to this point. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the 26.2 is like the last of that's the last, you know, of the training block. It's like this is a time to showcase all of the training that you've done up until this point. That's right. The fun part. You know what I mean? The crowd, the cheering, you know, you got water stations, you got all of the people supporting. You don't have all of that. It's just you in a role when you're training by yourself. And you're lucky enough if you have people to train with, which I'm fortunate enough to have people to run with. I got a community of support. So it makes the running that much better that you can have people to bounce ideas off of. You know, you're not alone. Like, I got people going through this marathon training block with me, you know, so there's accountability there, you know, all type of good things that help you get out the door. Cause mm-hmm. It's like, it's not just me. Like it would be really tough if it was just me, you know, like I got 7 friends that we doing this whole marathon training block together. You know what I mean? It's like, I can get a text message and be like, hey, you got your miles in yet? Nope, but I'm about to, or you know what I mean? So it's like that accountability is there.
Right. And it helps you, it helps everybody the same way, right? It's
oh yeah.
Knowing you got a buddy that did it already or is gonna do it, or you're both looking outside and you're like, shit.
Exactly. Exactly. Like y'all ran outside in this? Nah, I'm a fan.
Yeah, I know what you're saying for sure. So what is this training program that you got? What is it?
Yeah.
I haven't heard of it.
Okay. So actually, like I said, this is my second time doing a training block. This is the only time I've done a training plan. And I actually learned this training plan from a group of guys that's in our run club. But Hansen's Marathon Method, you can find it on Google. You can find it online. They have 2 books. They got a marathon training plan for the marathon and the half marathon. So they have an advanced training plan. They have a beginner's training plan. They even have a couch to 5K training plan. But anyways, okay. This training plan, it's 6 days on with 1 day off. So right now we're kind of in the thick of it. I'm utilizing the advanced marathon plan. And basically it's like, it's primarily easy runs with 2 speed days. So, for instance, like on a Monday, it's the easy run. Tuesday are my interval days. So, yeah, those are kind of my hard days. And then Wednesdays I have off. Thursdays are tempo days. Friday easy. Saturday easy. Sunday long runs. So yeah, that's kind of how it goes. And your off days, you kind of doing either you're resting or you're doing some sort of cross training. A lot of times I just rest or like stretch or, you know, do some type of strengthening because you need strength to go to distance. So, you know, and as you're running more and more, you're taking all of that pounding. So you need to be strengthening and stretching and making sure your nutrition is right and all of the things outside of running. You know, to make sure you stay injury free, because when you're racking up those miles, it can take a toll on the body. And you know, you don't want to go through all of that and then can't run the race, which I've seen happen, you know. So yeah, that's kind of what the plan is about.
We've all heard those stories, that's for sure. Do they?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a focus on? It sounds about right. I mean, that's pretty much a textbook, plan. But you know, with the workouts that are probably vary a little bit. But is there a focus on like time on your feet, or do they focus on miles in this particular plan? I know the methods change.
Yeah. So it's not really time on feet. It's more so about the miles. So like there's different variations of it, right? So they offer like coaching that you can actually receive, and then you can like have Luke Humphrey and he'll provide some more advanced or in-depth plans. But with the advanced marathon method plan that I'm using, it's more so about the mileage that you're using and trying to get you wrapped around running on tired legs. So it's kind of a build up throughout the week. Sometimes it builds up and then some weeks are lower than the week that you had before. So yeah, I'm not really the guru of running. Like I said, this is my second time doing the marathon training block, and I'm still learning as I go. But it's been a very effective plan. In this marathon training block, we don't go over 16 miles in a training block. I've done it before. And because it's 6 days on and you're wrapping your mind around running on on tired legs, it's like once you come to the taper, I mean, like I said, I didn't even think that it made sense because most training blocks you thinking like you got to hit the 20 miler or you got to hit the 22 miles, or some people even go further than that to wrap their mind around a marathon. But the first time I did this plan, the furthest I went was 16 miles. I mean, you do a 16 and then on a Monday, you come to a easy run of like 8. And then Tuesday, you back to interval. And then Wednesday, you back off. And then Thursday, you tempo. And then Saturday, you back easy. But that Sunday, if it was a 16, the next Sunday might drop down to 10. You know what I mean? So It's kind of like this fine balance of like, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like pushing you to the point of like, yeah, just training your mind around running tired, you know what I mean? And it's super effective. Like when I ran my first marathon, I didn't hit a wall. My first marathon trying to qualify for Boston, which was my third marathon. And I was able to run a 2:49. And yeah, it's a very effective plan. Like the first two times I ran a marathon, I definitely hit the wall at like 16, probably about 17 or 18. But the first time I went through this marathon training plan, that's why I'm using it again. I was able to run the whole race nonstop, no walls, at the pace that I was aiming for. Actually did better than what I was aiming for, because the first time I was aiming to be right around like 2:55 and I ran 2:49. So I'm like, yeah, this shit's legit.
And you know what? I've probably, I was trying to count how many I've done now. I've been running since 2010.
Okay.
Probably ran with triathlon like 10 or 11 marathons now. And I'm still learning. Like I still haven't, you still don't know everything. And I like the fact that, you're still like early in your marathon running and that, you're saying like, oh, I'm not expert or whatever, but like, there's so much value in what we can learn from the start of, there's so many lessons you learn at the start when you're starting to run any distance, like stuff that you did that you wouldn't do it again. Or, just like, we're so naive. When we first start, we're like, oh, it's fun. Like I did a half, I could do a full. And it's like, well, like you should probably like wait a few years or whatever, but sometimes it's not always about speed, but and time, just completion, that's okay too, but there's so much value in what you're saying, and what you can learn from these experiences. And, you know, maybe you'll do this block with this plan and be like, okay, I think I maxed that out. And now I got to move on to something else if I want to keep improving, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, the interesting thing about my whole journey with running, you know, like I tell people, well, people see my times and stuff like that. And they think I've been running for a very long time. I started running in 2015. And when I first started running, I could barely complete a mile. Like I used to struggle with a mile because I didn't know how to run. Right. I mean, I grew up athletically. I always played sports. Even growing up, before I started playing sports organized, which was in seventh grade. But before that, like we had community centers. So I was swimming, growing up, we rode bikes. We ran around the streets. We played tag. We was climbing trees, jumping off garages, doing all kind of crazy stuff as kids. We didn't grow up sitting in the house all day. We were out playing and stuff. So that kind of kept us active. We was playing basketball in the streets and playing football and stuff like that. So that high level of activity young kind of, I think that plays a part into my marathon training now and just running in general. But I started in 2015, never focused on running at all or cardio for that matter. I used to work out, but I never focused on like cardio. That just wasn't a thing. Like that's not a thing in the Black community. You don't ever see somebody going out for a run. That's not something that you will see, right? So, or you don't see people going out to ride a bike. The only time you see people riding bikes is if that's literally their transportation, like to get somewhere, you know what I'm saying? Or if you see somebody running, somebody's running from something or something like that. That's not something that you see do, but we've been able to change that narrative around Black people in the running space. So when I started running, I literally was helping out a friend with an initiative that he had going on called Sweaty September. And just a little bit about that, it was basically to kind of give people a jump start on their fitness goals. So like right around September, people kind of be falling off from their New Year's resolution by Q3, people falling off. And it was like, come on, y'all, we got this. We're going to finish strong in a year. So he was kind of like focusing on running, hiking, jogging, whatever you want to do, just do some form of physical activity. So I was like, you know what, let me try to get this running thing a try. So I could barely complete a mile because I'm kind of like sprinting, not understanding how to pace and all of that. So I'm like jog or kind of like sprint, then walk and sprint and walk and not understanding how to run. And over time, I started to get better. And then I started seeing myself improve with running, right? So you start running, you start to run that 1 mile all the way through nonstop. Then you're like, I can probably go further. Then I started running 2 miles. Then it was like, oh, I can run 3 miles nonstop. That's crazy. And at this time, I'm running like a 9 minute pace, 9:10, something like that, lower 9 minutes. And then I started seeing myself improve with the time. So I started making these small incremental goals, you know what I'm saying, within myself. It was like, okay, I want to get faster. So, and then I found out about the world of like racing. So I found out about 5Ks and 10Ks. And then once I got into that, it was like, oh, now I can get a medal for me actually doing this. I get some sort of reward for this. So then that's kind of how it happened for me with running. And I kind of fell in love with it. I fell in love with the mental space, like the thing that your mind plays on you. You know what I'm saying? Like the space and time that you have with yourself, it became a meditative space for me. You know, it was a time for me to get away from everything that's happening in the world and be at one with myself. And I didn't find many places that I can do that. Like I can lift weights and stuff like that, but you're in a gym with everybody else. It's not really like silence and like you in your own body and listening to your heartbeat and listening to, you know, what's going on in your head. Like some of the greatest ideas that I ever came up with came about in a run, you know, or my mind is trying to convince me to stop. But I figure out a way to listen to the small voice in my head to say, no, you can keep going, you know, and then that kind of trickles into various aspects of my life. And I was like, man, once I started to figure that part about running, it was like, yo, this is dope. I got to share this with people. I understand why people are out running, you know, because I didn't understand it at first. I didn't understand it at all.
Even though you were like few and far between, like, does that make it like that? That's what I find even more interesting is that, you know, like in Montreal, it's pretty common to see people like doing this. Like a lot of people are running, you know, but in a community where not a lot of people are doing it, and maybe you're one of the only ones, like you look crazy to people, you know, like to find a connection that's your own is pretty special. And then to want to share it with other people, that's pretty cool too. Like, and so, you know, that alone time that you had, the time to think and all that stuff, like brings these ideas and like you want to share it with others, you know? So like, you know, were your friends like interested in what you were doing? Like, how did you make the transition to like, from like more solo to introducing this to other people?
Yeah. So like I said, I started running in 2015, started getting better, but I wasn't consistent at all. But by 2017, I started to find a little bit more consistency. 2017 is when I completed my first half marathon. And by that time, I started organizing like group runs, right? Because I wanted to share with people what running was doing for me, right? So I started like posting little things on Facebook, me and one of my boys, just trying to get people to focus on their health. In Detroit, in a city like Detroit, that's not what you see, you know. Detroit has been labeled as one of the most unhealthiest and unhappiest cities in America by several articles. And we were trying to figure out, you know, how can we get people to, you know, kind of take their health more serious. And like after high school, people don't have that outlet. It's kind of like you, after you finished high school, you go into college or either you're getting a job. And then after you do that, it's like you're not playing organized sports or nothing like that. So it's not like if you didn't really see people modeling healthy habits, which a lot of Detroiters don't really see, then you're not really doing the things that you typically don't see. So make a long story short, started doing these like group runs. It was bringing out like 10 people. I think the most I had was 12 people. We used to do it once a week on a Sunday. And we would just run 2 miles. And then after that, 2019, I was running my first full marathon in Miami, right? So a mutual friend of mine and my co-founder saw that we were both in Miami running this race, and we both didn't know each other. And they like, yo, like y'all got to connect because I don't see nobody else in Detroit running, and both of y'all run, and y'all run marathons, like y'all traveling around the world and doing these races, y'all need to connect. So make a long story short, 2019, I had stopped organizing my group runs. So 2019, we had got connected through Instagram. They put us together. We linked up. His name is Joe Robinson. We linked up for a group run in February of 2019. And mind you, at this time, it's like snowing outside. So we got this indoor track that we met up at, and at the time I wasn't even aware of this indoor track, but he told me about it, and we linked up and we ran a 10K together, and we ran it together. At this time we were running like a 7:10 pace, 7:20 pace. That was pretty fast. It was kind of a workout for me at that time because I really wasn't running super fast like that. I wasn't at all. Really didn't know where I could take running, but he was such a strong runner and knew so much more about running than I did. It was like a perfect mesh, right? And from there, we started just running more together, learning each other. We got super cool. And then we decided to create a run club. So in the midst of that, that was in February. By May 4th is when mid-April, we started really putting together a plan to launch our run club on May 4th, 2019. And we had put like a link together and a registration link, and we put it all out on social media, Facebook, everything. And we had like 160 something people sign up to come out to this run. And then after that, we had the run on May 4th, our inaugural run. About 110 people showed up to the run, and we ran 2 miles. Mm-hmm. And from there, everybody was super excited about it. We were sharing our thoughts on, you know, on what we wanted to do with the run club and everything. And everybody was like asking us, when's the next run? We didn't really have a plan for when the next run would be, but we went back to the drawing board and created a schedule. And from there, it just literally took off. Since then, I mean, we've been pretty much everywhere, in terms of in the running community, in terms of, what we've been doing in the city of Detroit. And when I say like everywhere, like as big as landing an interview with Al Roker on NBC's Today Show. I don't know how familiar you guys are with that in Montreal. Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's crazy. Like, I don't know of any run clubs to be on NBC's Today Show or, you know, I mean, it's kind of insane. Like we didn't imagine what we were doing was going to happen, but our run club is so much bigger than just running. It's really about community building, and it's really about, just connecting people through running and the power of running. But it's also this idea of becoming a better version of yourself, because that's what running potentially do, you know? That's what it will do if you stick with it, because like I said, you'll have that accountability, one with the run club, but then two is like, you have that time with yourself and you start focusing more on yourself. And that's from the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual. It's so many things that running kind of brings you once you kind of get introduced to it.
Right. But why did you stop your run club at that time?
I didn't have the structure. I didn't have the accountability. I didn't really understand how I wanted to go about it, you know, and to be quite frank, at that time, I didn't really want to start a run club. I just kind of was doing group runs and bringing friends together because I knew how much it would require of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really want to do that. But I got inspired. When I went out to, DC. I kind of saw a run club and kind of saw how things were going with that. And I was like, man, I had to put myself to the side and think about things outside of me, because the thing that we're doing in Detroit is so much bigger than me. And that's why it's kind of blowing up. It's so much bigger than me. It's so much bigger than Joe. It's so much bigger than our team. It's not only inspiring people in Detroit, it's inspiring people around the world around health and wellness. And once I made that up in my mind that it's bigger than me, I decided to give myself to what we're doing. Right. And it's crazy what we're doing. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's a big commitment, you know. I can
Yeah.
I asked that question because, like, you know, you know, we have a lot of clubs and crews in Montreal, and it's a lot of time people put in to be able to be present at these weekly runs, and to get people out and to motivate people, and they're all kind of, you know, it's just connecting people and getting people out the door and, you know, running together and experiencing something in the community. And I know, you know, how much work everyone puts into doing that, you know, and there's so many of them, and I'm always like inspired by the leaders of these groups, because, you know, they do put in the time and the commitment to being there for these people, just so they can see other people be better versions of themselves, or try, you know, you don't get, I'm sure you don't get all runners. You must get a ton of first timers, like with a 2 mile run, you know, like it's something that's really accessible for people. So what kind of people are you attracting, and maybe share some stories of people that are showing up and that you've impacted.
Yeah. As soon as you said you get first timers, that sparked something in me, but I'm going to get to it in a second. But we are for runners of all levels, all ages. I always say this, we're for runners of all levels, all ages, all races, all paces. It doesn't matter who you are or what you do. We are here to support you. So, we get kids from literally about the age of 3 or 4 running 2 miles with us, all the way up to adults at the age of like in their 70s that will run with us. My grade school teacher came out for a 2 mile run. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Our biggest run we've had on a 2 mile Tuesday was about 230 people. We have fostered this culture of like a no runners left behind type of feel. So we encourage all people. We don't leave anybody behind. It's high motivation in that space, and everybody falls into it. You know, so when you talk about first timers, we make sure that the first timers feel welcome and greeted when they come to that space. A lot of people kind of say it's like church, you know, because it's that space where it's non-judgmental. Nobody cares about what you do for a living. Nobody cares about none of that. I mean, but you got people from different walks of life. You might be somebody who maybe worked at McDonald's or something, and you might be able to connect with a doctor that you never would have been able to connect with because you're in that space, and we're all in that space to run. And it doesn't matter about social class, right? But when you talk about first timers, I mean, we literally, so we don't run all season right now. We're in the off season.
I see.
Yeah. So our season typically kicks off in May, and then we run all the way to like the first week of December, because that's what works for us. That's our run structure, because we literally, like I said, we literally wait for everybody. There's never a time where people will run and then we're not outside waiting for the last person to finish, right? So it's not conducive for us, because our structure is that way. And it's hard to stand outside when it's so cold outside and wait on everybody, because yeah, I mean, when you're not moving, that's when you get really cold. So, but yeah, I was going to say, in terms of first timers, we literally had a first timer show up at our very last run of the season, you know, and that's literally like, we get first timers every single run, all the way from the beginning of the season until the end. And when I noticed that at our last run, I was like, wow, that's when the light bulb clicked for me. I said, wow, that's powerful. Because every day last year, even coming through the pandemic, running through the pandemic, all of that, like when the whole world shut down and the governor was saying, you know, COVID-19 is something that's affecting our cardiovascular system. We knew that running is something that strengthens it. We encourage people to get out the door and make sure you focus on your physical health. And in a way, the pandemic kind of shined light on taking your health more serious. So it kind of boosted the run club in a way that we didn't potentially see happening. And yeah, more people start getting out the door because we were still outside. We weren't congregating together, but we had figured out a way to encourage people to still run, to get outside, to get outdoors, get some fresh air, run, strengthen your immunity, build your immunity, strengthen your immunity, build your mind, stay strong, and all of that. And once we were able to come back together, it started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And yeah, it's the power of running, but also the power of community building. I mean, our community is so big and so connected. I mean, you got people building businesses. You got people meeting each other at the runs and starting businesses together, or a business owner may meet their client there, or I mean, all types of things. I mean, and I didn't even get into the like weight loss stories or anything like that, as far as how much people have lost weight and, you know, different things of that nature, just building confidence within themselves and getting back or becoming the best version of themselves through right. The power of running.
Because yeah, I think what you're saying too is, I mean, I find the 2 mile thing really interesting, because I think, you know, as runners and what I see is like a lot of clubs, you know, maybe they'll do, you know, they have options, you know, for 5K or 10K or, you know, whatever that translates into miles, like 7 or 3, mm-hmm. let's say. But, you know, 2 is like really accessible, and that's really getting out the door, just getting out the door. And mm-hmm. you can see that, you know, when you're talking about weight loss and this kind of thing, you know, it's really just about like, yeah, I can do that. Like I can go out for that amount of time, and I can do this twice a week, you know, like yep. They leave feeling this sense of community, and it fills them up with joy. Like, I mean, nobody's having a bad time at these things. It's just good vibes like everywhere, you know? And like, I don't know. I think it's a really interesting concept that you have, and I think it's interesting distance too, because, you know, it's a little, I'm sure the guys that want longer will like run there or run after, you know, but they're all there for that 2 mile.
Yep, that happens too. But let me clarify. So 2 miles is what we do on Tuesday. So okay. We do 2 miles. So we got 3 group runs that we do. We meet 3 days a week. Right. So we have 2 mile Tuesday. That's our introductory run. That's for runners of all levels, all ages, paces, you know, what I was saying. And then we have a 5K, 10K Thursday, which is 2 options. Right. So you got the people that's pretty much beginners. They kind of keep coming on Tuesday. Then they rack up the courage to say, you know what, I'm going to come to a Thursday run. Right. Yeah. So then now they can do the 2 miles nonstop, and then they like, I'm gonna challenge myself and come to Thursday run. So they try out for the 5K. We like, yeah, you can do the 2 miles, you can do 3.1, well, it's just 1 mile more, mm-hmm. right? You mm-hmm. might have to walk a bit, but it's more of a challenge. So now they come to the Thursday run, so you got the 5K or 10K option. So Thursdays, same thing, but it's 2 options. But there's that, it's still that encouragement piece there where it's like nobody's left behind. So so we got the 5K and 10K Thursday run. And then we have Sundays, which are designed for our long runs. Now, it might take people a little bit longer to build up to the courage to do the long runs. But we have people that are kind of not new to the running game or been running with us for the past, we're going into our 4th season. Been running with us for 4 years, or they have aspirations of running their first half marathon or running a marathon. So they come into these Sunday runs where we do long runs, and they range from anywhere from 10 miles to 18 miles, depending on what we're training for or what we set out for that long run to be. So there's a buildup. There's a buildup structure within what we do, doing, three runs a week.
Okay, cool. So that's like you like graduate, you know, as you go along. Yep. You know, there's something for everybody, and like, you know, if you keep showing up to the Tuesdays and you're feeling good about yourself, show up to Thursday, and then eventually, you know, you see these people showing up for the long on Sunday.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Why do you think the media got such a hold of this thing? Because like you've had some pretty like big interviews with like, you know, like TV interviews and like big interviewers, like well-known people, like wanting to speak to you about this. Why do you think that is?
I think because Detroit is a city you don't typically hear good news or good press about. And like I said earlier on this interview or on this podcast, that Detroit is a city that's not known for health and wellness. Detroit is we're really changing people's lives. We're really impacting people's lives in a way that has never been seen before. Running is not. So first of all, Detroit is 85% Black city. And running is just not something that you see Black people doing. But we have, imagine 200 plus Black people running in Detroit. That's unheard of. So the media, first it started happening locally, that the media wanted to talk to myself and Joe, like, you know, how do you get these people out? How are you getting people to stay consistent with running? And people want to know. But I mean, we give a lot of credit to, I mean, it's not just us. I think it's just, we found out what people needed, you know, mm-hmm. you know, and they didn't necessarily know that they needed it, you know, you know, it was something that Joe and I, we just really wanted to share what running was doing for us personally with the people. And, you know, the people kind of started marketing it themselves by telling a friend, and they kind of started being word of mouth, or they'll meet somebody there. And then now they have an accountability partner, and they see that they're going to the run. They connected on social media, and then they show up, and everybody shows up, and it's like a big family oriented vibe. And I think the media started stepping in more because, yeah, like Detroit is not a DC, it's not a Houston or a Toronto or a Montreal where you see that typically. And I mean, it just kind of, I think it's God's plan, to be honest. You know, like, it's nothing that we can really take credit for like that. I think it's just that we're doing something that has never been done. And it's getting the light that it rightfully deserves. Right. People need to see that. People need to see Detroit in a different light. People need to see Detroit as a place that they can come to and have fun. And it's not being portrayed as this negative city, because that's not Detroit. Crime and all of that stuff happens everywhere. But what happens in Detroit is, like, I think Detroit pays much more attention to that rather than all of the good that's happening in the city, because beautiful things happen in the city. It's beautiful people happen in the city. We got some of the most creative people in the city. We got some of the most, the best music. This is the Motown, this is the Motor City, you know. So many great things is happening in the city. And I believe that, yeah, in a city that doesn't necessarily get that type of positive press, it was like, it was something that needed to be different about Detroit, and it happened to be running. And now we're on NBC Today Show, or in Runner's World, World Magazine. And
yeah.
ASICS just came here to do a documentary on us. And, you know, just a ton of things, from receiving Spirit of Detroit Awards to special tributes from the state of Michigan to God knows where this will even go next. You know,
yeah.
We got pretty huge plans for this season and years to come. So.
For sure.
You know, we still just feel like we're just getting started.
Yeah. So you're like, you know, you're changing people's minds about Detroit, and like, you're from there. I'm sure you're real, real proud to be from there, and proud to see, you know, like, I'm proud of my city.
Born and raised, west side of Detroit.
Yeah. Make it a destination for people to go run in, you know? So where do you guys run? Where's your favorite place to run in Detroit, if anybody's ever in there?
Sure, yeah. I just wanted to add this part, too. So, yeah, I'm from the west side of Detroit, born and raised, right? Grew up in the city, educated through the Detroit public school system. I had an opportunity to go away for college. Once I went away, I like to name my school because I don't know who's listening, but the Tennessee State University in Nashville, Tennessee.
You see all the football players saying that when they do their intros, eh?
Yeah, that is my alma mater, and I'm very proud of it.
Nice.
But once I graduated from there, I had this itch of wanting to come back to Detroit and wanting to be a positive light in the city. So when I decided to move back, it was strictly for three reasons. I always am led by faith. So it was God, family, and community. I wanted to be closer to my family. My brother was having his first daughter. And I was like, yeah, there's no way I can. I don't have any family in Nashville, you know, nothing like that. So I'm like, yeah, it's no way I can. Me and my brother grew up really close. It's like my best friend. So it's no way my brother can have a daughter and I not be there. So I'm like, yeah, I got to come home. And I wanted to make an impact in Detroit. But that specifically was around community development and more specifically youth development. And that's when I was working in the schools. Never thought running was going to be a thing. I moved back in 2014, picked up running in 2015. So I just kind of wanted to say that.
Yeah. But
Joe is also from Detroit, born and raised, East Side, which is something that you also don't typically see happening in Detroit, where East Siders and West Siders are coming together. That's like an unheard thing. So that's like running. So there's that subculture that exists in Detroit that is very like divisive in our community. So Detroit is a very segregated city from East Side, West Side. Then you got social class. So people aren't coming together because of race and economics, right? So you got all of these different things that's dividing the city, and running is the glue that's kind of like bringing it all together. So that's another point that I wanted to make about why it's so powerful. But to answer your question about where I like to run, I like to run at the spots that we bring the community together. So I mean, we pick Woodward specifically because it's a great marketing tool for us. Let's see, Woodward is the like main street in Detroit that kind of like runs from downtown all the way out to like the suburbs. But we kind of run midtown, downtown area. And like when we run down Woodward, you got tons of cars just honking their horns, and they might see us running down Woodward, and then they may show up to a run because they saw us running, and you've seen all these people running, and we run through on three shirts. So that's a good marketing tool because we like a running billboard. And then, real talk.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, so then we run at the DeQuinder Cut, which is pretty new to Detroit. Detroit has, since I moved back, Detroit has been growing. There's pros and cons, but Detroit has been growing tremendously since I've moved back, as far as economics is concerned. And they created this like this greenway, which is called the DeQuinder Cut, and we run on there often. That's where we do our 5K, 10K Thursday runs. And we got the Riverwalk. The Riverwalk it connects to the DeQuinder Cut, and the Riverwalk is actually one of the best Riverwalks in the nation. I think we were ranked like number one or something. You can Google it, which is pretty cool. Because if you ever come to Detroit, and the reason why, because it's beautiful, but also if you know anything about Detroit, what separates Detroit and Canada is the Detroit River. right? So you got the so Detroit and Windsor, Canada, Ontario, right? So you got the Ambassador Bridge, and then you got the tunnel. You can get over, you can get back and forth from Detroit and Canada. And it's just a beautiful sight to see the Riverwalk. And all of that kind of got created right around like, well, I wasn't here. I want to say they started making the Riverwalk in like 2009-ish, 2010. Mm-hmm. But it's just become beautiful over the years. But yeah, that's one of the places I like to run. Belle Isle. Belle Isle has been around forever. it's kind of like a island that's in the middle of Canada and Detroit. And yeah, it's kind of like you go over this bridge and you on this island, and it's a 5 mile loop that is beautiful. Yeah, and we grew up on Belle Isle, you know, like it's got its own like beach over there, and we grew up on, you know, on a giant slide, and you come there for family barbecues and stuff like that, and that was like the place to go for all Detroiters growing up in the city. So. But now it's more clean, and it's just a beautiful spot to get a run in. Those are the primary places I run, and then I run around my neighborhood. It's always pretty cool to run in your neighborhood and see how things have changed over the years. And it's kind of inspirational, even though it's not much inspiration in the city.
Right. And sense. Yeah, no, totally. I mean, and you know, I think it's interesting too that you wanted to go back and make an impact, you know, and you're doing that with the running now, but I'm sure in other ways too. Can you talk about a little bit about the other things that you do? Like, you're doing such a great job with this run community, but you know, I know, you know, you want to bring health and wellness to youth, and you're a mentor, and you know, like,
yeah,
there's a lot that goes into it, and more than, you know, beyond running for sure. And I'm sure they go hand in hand, you know?
Yeah. So running kind of has taken over my life now. No, seriously. Like the run club has become a lucrative business for us. Right. So we've figured out a way to make it lucrative. And, I focused my life around it. So now, right now, I'm doing this full time.
Wow.
And full time entrepreneurship. Every day I wake up, it's like working on things for the run club, because it's super time consuming. You're talking about securing partnerships with like Gazelle Sports and ASICS and Run Gum, and being on calls and all the time. We're always in meetings and planning and different things like that. It's taking up my life. I'm then training and all of that. But when I first moved back home, like I said, I was working in education, and that's like, I've always had this spirit of giving back, because so many people have poured into me and to helping me become the person that I am. Growing up in Detroit is a rough city to grow up in. It's just, and I say it's rough because the environment isn't always the most conducive to a young person's development. So, like what I saw growing up was like drugs and violence and, you know, some of my friends being killed. It's just kind of this, survival city. You know, it's like, you have to figure out a way to like make it in this city, you know, from, like, we don't have like adequate transportation. I remember like just even getting back and forth to high school. I would stand outside at 6:50 in the morning to catch 2 buses just to get to school, back and forth from school. Or if I wasn't doing that, I was walking to school, rain, snow, sleet or hail. It didn't matter. We had to figure out a way to get things done. But that type of grit that you gain just from being in the city of Detroit, I think it takes Detroiters very far, that we have in our minds that you can make it anywhere if you can make it in Detroit. I don't know if you ever heard of the tagline, Detroit versus everybody. that's kind of like the attitude that most Detroiters have, because people would try to like throw so much negative shade and press at Detroiters. Like Detroit feels like we're, everybody's against us. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's like, we're not necessarily against everybody. You know what I mean? But Detroit is like, it's a go-getter type of city. You know, it breeds like hustle. You know what I mean? It's like, you gotta figure out how to make it. And if it wasn't for people pouring into me, like my guidance counselor and different things like that, like my family didn't have the means to send me to school. So I applied for scholarships. I was born and raised in a good family. Thank God for my mother and my father and my grandparents and different people like that in the community that poured into me. I was able to get scholarship money, and that scholarship money awarded me the opportunity to be able to go away to school. So more specifically, like Coleman A. Young Foundation, that I give a lot of credit to. And Coleman A. Young is a former mayor of the city of Detroit. But yeah, like when I received that and I was in school and I was able to graduate, that was always planted in my mind that I wanted to return home and make a difference. Because if it weren't for people like them to pour into me or sow a seed in myself, I don't think that I would have that that spirit of like giving back, you know, or doing something to enhance the life of another person, you know. So that has always been in my heart. That's what I feel like I was born and created to do. And ever since I understood that, I'm living my life accordingly. So I understand that my life is not about me. It's about how many lives of other people can I touch, and how in the time that I have here, because nobody knows when your last day will be. So I just like to live my life as full as I possibly can. So I don't leave nothing here. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how I move. So every day that I wake up, it's like I know that I'm on this mission to make a footprint in the world by what I do and what I say to people. So I'm always conscious of that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's special. It, I mean, and it comes down to potential. You know, I usually ask the question about potential and within running, like, you know, a coach that sees something in you, or someone who encourages to do something that you didn't think you could do or weren't even thinking about. But it sounds like this is on a life scale and life purpose scale. It kind of sounds like that's how it was for you too, but not with running, but with just like how to live your life to the fullest, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. On a life scale, that's what it's all about to me. And that's kind of like where I've taken it with the run club, you know. I'm always thinking about that. It's like, how can I utilize this beautiful tool of running to get inside of the minds of the people in a way that has shaped and changed my life, you know. And Joe does the same thing. Very wise. I think I consider myself as a young person. I'm 33 years old. Joe's 30. And I consider us both to be pretty wise young men. And we take the power of running and educate people around, like, not just the running itself, but the mental side of it and how it translates into the physical, and how they both work as a cohesive unit, you know? So we always kind of like get in our preacher bag around running, you know, cause it's a powerful tool. Like, it's kind of like how, you know, people use martial arts, for example, to use that as teaching for people. We utilize running as teaching for people, because you have to, get in tune with your emotions. You get in tune with the physical side of yourself, and you find how to utilize your mind to take your body in places that you never would have thought possible. you know? So, yeah, running is a beautiful tool to teach. Yeah, and,
I was going to say it's a vehicle for many things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love the quote you have in your email I saw. The most important thing is to try and inspire people so that they can be great in whatever they do. That was Kobe Bryant.
Absolutely. And,
I mean, you're living that. So I think that's pretty special. What would you say is your greatest accomplishment, Lance?
Oh, my greatest accomplishment. My greatest accomplishment is to make my parents proud. I think that's my greatest accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
My parents are extremely proud of who I've become. And I think that that's the greatest reward that I can have, knowing that I'm a good son, I'm a good brother, I'm a good uncle. I don't have any children. I think thus far in my life, I think that's been my greatest accomplishment. I have many awards and accomplishments, but none of them mean anything to me rather than, you know, making my parents proud. Like you can have all these awards and stuff, but you're not a good person. You know what I mean? Like you can have awards and all these different accolades, but that can get into the heads of people where they feel like they're bigger or better than somebody. You know, I've always remained humble. I pull up on my mother and my father and we have a good time. Like I become, it's a space within my parents. It's like, man, like I'm learning my parents on a different level, like more. So like they're my parents and I respect them. I love them. But it's like, we've developed this like friendship that I love and I cherish. I think that's, my greatest accomplishment, man. I love my parents to death.
Mm. That's something we have in common. I love my parents too.
Yeah. I'm grateful you don't even realize how much of a blessing that it is to even still have your parents around until you get older. And, you realize how much they truly have shaped your life and shaped you into who you are. Yeah. And it's beautiful for us to have a relationship that I have with my parents. We've come a long way.
Mm-hmm. And it's a testament too to how they raised you. Cause I mean, with all this attention, you know, it's gotta be hard to, you know, I mean, how does one stay humble? You know, it's not easy for a lot of people to handle that kind of media, press, interview, you know, it's a lot on somebody's shoulders, you know? But it sounds like you're doing it for all the right reasons. And, you know,
yeah,
when you
move with the right intentions, then that stuff don't even really matter. I've always had a pure heart. You know what I mean? Like remain humble, stay authentic, stay true to yourself. And that's it for real. I don't really be worried about all of the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's so important. You know, it's remember why you do stuff and,
yep.
You know, cause people see right through that stuff too, eh? Like you know, you start changing who you are and, you know, people can smell that from a mile away as well. So,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I've seen it. Trust me, I know.
So you got Boston coming up. How, like what's next for the club and, you know, what, anything exciting you want to share?
Yeah. So Boston, first time going to Boston, first time actually going there, like
physically,
just physically, not even outside of the Boston Marathon. First time ever going to Boston. Excited about it. Running has brought a lot of new friendships and stuff like that. So going to meet up with run clubs there. ASICS is out there, so we'll be linking up with them out there, and getting like this VIP experience is going to be beautiful. Excited about the race. It's the 126th Boston Marathon, so be pretty cool. I'm just excited to just take it all in. This is my second world major. I ran New York City in November, New York City, and it's crazy. New York City was all about the vibes. I didn't care about time or nothing like that. I just wanted to just run the race and experience the crowd. The energy is massive. Beautiful race. Highly recommended for everybody to experience. If they ever get a chance to run it, do it. It's crazy because I had told Joe, like, hey, I'm about to jump up here and I want you to take this picture. Me and Joe were the only ones running it. And you crossing over this bridge and it's thousands of people running across this bridge. And I just saw it. I'm like, man, let me jump up here and take this picture. And I put my hands up to the side and he took the picture. And lo and behold, we get back to Detroit and this guy, he says, is this your running club? I don't know if this is your run club or not, whatnot, but you guys landed in the New York Times. I'm like, what? I got this picture, this beautiful picture of me, like all of the people. And I'm like the only person in the middle of this, like, I'm standing on this, like, this block, this thing that divides like east and west on, I don't know if it's east or west or north or south across this bridge, but all of that to say, like, New York was the vibes. Landed in the New York Times, which was crazy.
Cool.
Right. And Boston is like, okay, this is a race I'm about to run serious. Because, you know, this is like the race where it's like, you worked hard for this. You know, you got to run a qualifying time to get in. Let's put the speed to the test and see where I land. And so I'm not going to be taking fancy pictures or nothing like that. So I don't know how much I'm going to enjoy the race because I'm going to be running hard. And it's gonna be tough, but I am excited for the experience, and I'm excited to see if I'm able to make it a PR. I mean, I hear about Heartbreak Hill and it's hilly and it's rolling hills and all of that stuff, and we'll see. Like, I'm excited to connect with new run clubs. I'm excited to meet the people at ASICS. I'm excited to see what it's all about. I mean, I'm on a stage of some very prestigious people, you know, the elites and all of the fast people in the world. It's kind of crazy to even be there. I never thought in a bit, like Boston, like I said, I never grew up in like this running community or, you know, like it's just kind of insane to be there, like, to me, because that's not something that you typically see. One, I'm Black. Two, I'm from Detroit. I don't even know what the percentages of that is. There's this thing on social media, like 1.6% of U.S. marathoners are Black.
I saw that. And, yeah, I did see
that. Yeah, and it's like 1.6%, right? And then I'm like, okay, I'm a Black male and I'm from Detroit, Michigan. What's the percentage of that? You know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know any people. Well, now I know more marathoners, but I don't know anybody personally besides myself, Tommy, and Gary, who run with us in our run club, that have made it into Boston Marathon. Joe's right there on his way. He ran a 3:06, so he's about to get in. But we're changing that narrative and introducing people into the sport of running. But when you're talking about Black people, you know, you talk about the Kenyans and the Ethiopians and the people that's actually winning the races. They're Black, but that's not something that's really a typical thing for African Americans to just run in the sport. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Cool to represent for sure, and, you know, show up and, you know, give a hell. You know, like I ran that race three times now, and I'll tell you that, you know, you're my best advice I can give you is be patient.
Yeah, okay? that's what Gary told
me. Be patient, and it's your first Boston, and the goal will take care of itself. You know, if you're fit, it'll happen. But enjoy the moments, enjoy the crowds. Like, this New York's crazy. I've ran New York as well. My last race before the pandemic, 2019. Lined with people, but like from start to finish, Boston, the crowds are in amazing. It's the oldest marathon out there. Mm-hmm. And once you see that Cisco sign, like it's home, you know. And you know, you'll do well if you train hard. You'll do well for sure. But let the race, you know, let it like the marathon, just let it come to you, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, it's rolling. It's rolling at the beginning, the first half, and then you know you run into those hills, and if you come out too hot, you pay for it later, you know. But patience is key, for sure.
Thank you. Yeah. Definitely
need to hear that. And I'm sure you'll get lots of advice, you know. But
I'm a student of the game, man. I love advice and taking notes. Like that's really my life, you know. It's like I apply a lot of the knowledge that people have given to me, mm-hmm. you know, and it's taken me pretty far.
What's the best running advice you can give to somebody, you know, first timer or somebody who looking to take on another distance or a new challenge?
Best running advice I can give to somebody is running takes time. Be patient with yourself. You're not going to get it right in a day or two. But if you stick with it, it gets easier. Well, no, I won't say it gets easier. You get better because running is difficult. Running is very difficult, actually. But if you keep running, you get better at handling difficulty. So I would just say, do the things an active way to approach life is doing the things that are difficult, and running is difficult. So approach running. no, really, because if you can overcome the difficulty of running, you'll be able to overcome so many things. That's why I love running, because I literally get to give myself a challenge every time I run. Whether even if I'm running an easy run, it's difficult to wrap my mind around running 8 miles. Like I got to run as soon as I get off this call, I got an easy 7 miles to run. And I'm like, man, I really don't feel like running 7 miles, even if I'm running an easy pace. Mm-hmm. But once I get out there, I'm not going outside.
Thank you for being honest.
Yeah. Once I go downstairs in my basement and I turn that treadmill on, I'm going to run at like an 8:35 pace, you know, and that's my easy pace, right? So easy pace can be whatever pace is comfortable to you to have a conversation. But I have that level of fitness to run at that pace. Sometimes I run at a 9-minute pace. But anyways, I'll turn on a treadmill at a 7 speed and I'm just going to run. But it's still difficult, like to run for 50 minutes, you know what I mean, on a treadmill. So I typically try to figure out a way to take my mind from that space, mm-hmm. you know. But that's totally the power of the mind. Yeah,
absolutely. All like a lot of mental for sure. A lot of convincing. And, you know, one thing, you know, I heard recently, but and it applies to running, is like motivation isn't the challenge for people like who are at the top of their game. It's not the issue. It's the discipline. Mm-hmm. And if you can apply it, like and it's so true, like and recently I've been struggling with my own training and. Mm-hmm. I don't have a race that's coming up in April, but in May. And it's like the discipline to get out the door every day. Mm. Like that's mm-hmm. That's where the magic happens. Because if you can put the shoes on and get dressed and go running for whatever the time, you know,
you're done.
You're developing that, you know, and that's what's important. Skipping, you know, 3-4 days is not great, you know. It's the discipline to be able to string together a block, a marathon block or whatever it is, And you can apply that to so many things. Oftentimes I do say like, oh man, I do it for running. Why can't I do it for, I don't know, reading a book, for example, or, you know, there's so many things in life, you know, the word that it applies to.
Yeah. And that's the mental side of it, right? If you, like, and I do that sometimes too. Like, I picture reading a book like running. So like, I may pick up the book, and if there's 18, let's say there's 20 chapters in a book, that's, I look at it like 24 miles. Sometimes I want to pick up the book, and once I pick up the book, then I'm coasting through. I'm reading it. And then, okay, the next day, I might not pick up the book because I've become less consistent with picking up the book and finishing it, you know? But if I train my mind, like, just pick up the book, just put your shoes on in terms of running, then if I pick up the book, then I'll be further along the book. But if it's like with running, it's like, if you stop running, then you don't get from mile. If you stop running at mile five, then you don't get to mile eight. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's the same thing, you know, even if you write in a book, which something that I've been dragging my feet on, you know? And it's like, man, you allow the obstacles of life to like come into play. And it's like, you know, you make time for different things, but you got to like make time for it. Just like how we make time for running or make time for anything else. You know, it's like that discipline that you were talking about. That's really what it boils down to is the discipline to see it through to the end.
Totally. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more for sure. And it's something, you know, it's an ongoing thing. And like you say, we're learning all the time and I'm still learning after all these years. And, you know, we're all learning, you know, when you think you figured it out, that's where you're beat, you know, it's
exactly.
What does running mean to you?
Wow. That's a great question. Running. I just say running is life. It means everything to me. It's so many things to learn. I think that you can never stop learning with running. I don't even really want to go too deep into it. I just think that it's something that I would never give up unless my body is just physically unable to do it. So I think I'll be running for a pretty long time. I still feel like I'm very new to it. I've only been running since 2015 and started really taking it serious about 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much more faster I want to be, but because that's where it gets very challenging to make these incremental gains when your body is like trying to go sub 5:30, like guys are running 4 minute miles and stuff for 26, but that's just insane to me, you know, or even running sub six for 26.2 miles. It's like, I have to take a deep breath just thinking about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's tough. But it's tough what the body can do when you allow your mind to take you there.
For sure.
But running is beautiful, man. Like, it's a beautiful thing to challenge yourself.
Yeah. It teaches a lot of lessons for sure. And it means something different to everybody. And, you know, I love it because it helps us connect and, you know, so does social media, which is how I saw a video about you and was like, oh, that guy seems interesting. You know, like, that's pretty cool. Like I was inspired.
That's crazy.
I was inspired watching it and I was like, okay, like, let's have this guy on and have a chat, you know?
I appreciate that.
But I find like too, like you were saying, like, I think when it comes to speed, I think we all have like an ability and a potential that we all have. And sometimes it's just about like, how fit can I get? Cause then the fitness will determine the speed at which we'll be able to run a given distance. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like if we look at it in terms of, you know, consistency and all that, like, how fit can I be on the day, and then that will kind of determine the speed at which I'll be able to run and for how long, you know? So I've been trying to think about it in terms of that instead of like always analyzing my pace, because that can get dangerous and also a bit, I guess, daunting at times. So it's like, because you feel different on different days, right? Like,
absolutely.
You know, it depends on the day you had. I mean,
it depends on the day you had, stress levels, what you eat, you know, how much rest did you get? How much did you hydrate? It's so many factors that go into having a good day. And you could have done all of the things and still had a bad day running. But it's like, how fit can you get? It determines the, you know, it boils down to the smallest of things. Nutrition may seem like a small thing, but it's a huge thing. You know, like I recently went it's been a little over 2 years now. Went vegetarian. Like I gave up meat and fish, and now that I've given it up, I've become more of a stronger runner. You know, the Game Changers documentary kind of inspired that. And I was noticing that the strongest athletes in the world were plant-based. They were all on plant-based diets. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was like, wow, like that was very intriguing to me. Like, let me see how much can this help me as an athlete, because I want to become stronger as a distance runner. And lo and behold, it changed everything, because mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of inflammation in my body as I once did before, because I'm eating anti-inflammatory foods, which are nutrients from plants. Mm-hmm. So those things change the way you recover. They change the amount of energy you have in your body. And it's changed me significantly. Like my body doesn't hurt like that no more. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. the time it takes my body to recover, like I can do a hard run. Like I did a hard run yesterday and I don't even feel like it. Like you say that 2 years ago, that would be a completely different story, you know? So it's the little things that you can do to, and like I said, I'm no expert, man. Like it's the little things that you can do like that, that will significantly change a marathon training plan, you know? So
totally
stuff like that. And I'm, like I said, there's products out there that you experiment with and you see like, oh, this really works well for me. Like I got hip to Morton, and like now it's like, okay, I use Morton during my training and I'm definitely going to use it during the race, because this gel is extremely well. And I learned that from my friends in my run club. But then you see the athletes that are performing at the highest possible in the sport, they drinking Morton. You know what I mean?
So why not?
Let me try that out. You know,
so nothing new on race day, right?
Nothing new on race day. Yeah.
Cool.
On race day.
I'm happy you found the plant-based diet, because I'm vegan as well. So
nice.
Yeah, I also watched that documentary, which I thought really interesting. And you know, for a lot of people, they don't get it, and that's mm-hmm. that's okay. It comes down to education, you know, and mm-hmm. trial, and feels good for us and. It works for us, but it's not for everybody. So,
And now I'm trying to convince my parents to. So I got my mother to watch What the Health. Like she watched it like 2 days ago. She said, I'm about to throw away all the meat in my refrigerator. And that just made my heart warm. You know what I mean? Because my family has been plagued with so many diseases, you know, heart disease and hypertension and diabetes and prostate cancer and breast cancer and all of these different things that have been, you know, taking out my family. And it's like, I've made the decision that I didn't want that to happen to myself. So I'm not a person that will tell you to do something if I'm not practicing that within myself. So, I'm working on my dad, man. My dad, I'm trying to get him to watch it just so he can understand like how much eating plants could reverse some of the health conditions that you're dealing with right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm the sun, right? So it's like,
Out of here.
Right. Exactly.
I can eat what I want.
Right. But it's like, that's the interesting thing about life. It's like, learning has no age limit.
No. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can learn from somebody that's older than you, or you can learn from somebody that's younger than you. That's why you have to keep an open mind to this whole thing called life.
For sure.
You know?
And it's just hard to change that old school mentality, man.
So, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. I've tried with my dad, too. And, you know, my mom does most of the cooking, so... You know, they don't eat as much meat as they used to, but yeah, it's it's like everything, you know, you run one day a week, you do, you know, one day less of meat, you know, and that's little baby steps and
little baby steps. Yep.
Show them that it can taste good still, you know, they can season it all they want. And yeah, that's a whole nother podcast. Okay, Lance, that's a we'll have to leave it there for now. Yep. But I'm happy you brought it up. Where can people find out more about you and all the great things you're doing?
Sure. You guys can follow me on Instagram. I'm on there all the time. _ L Woods is my Instagram handle. You can find out and follow the run club at WeRun313. And then also check out our website, WeRun313.com. You can learn more about it there. And, that's pretty much the social media handles. You can find that on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Once again, it's WeRun313. 313 is significant for our area code. So right. That's Detroit. Yep.
Super.
But yeah, that's it right there.
Well, Lance, thanks so much for coming on. And I really appreciate all the work you do in Detroit, but I'm sure you make... You know, you're making an impact bigger than where you're from for people watching. And, you know, I think you're getting attention for good reason. And, you know, hopefully people see that and want to make a change in their own lives, whether it's through running or some other form of physical activity or changing their diet, because I think it's just super important. And I think we should all try and live the best lives we can, because we only got one. So thank you for all you do.
Absolutely, Justin. I appreciate you, and thanks for reaching out to me and asking me to be a part of this podcast. I appreciate what you're doing.
Thanks so much.
Amplifying the voices of people in the running community and sharing with other people about the beauty of running and the importance of it, you know, and the importance of health and wellness, because we all need it. If we want to be around for a little while longer and live a happy and healthy life. So I appreciate the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You have a good night.
You do the same. Thanks. Thanks a ton.
Yep. Bye-bye. This episode is brought to you by VeloFix. As runners, there's not much to worry about in terms of equipment maintenance or tune-ups. But for those cyclists and triathletes out there, and speaking from my own experience, finding a bike shop with efficient customer-facing mechanics can be a challenge. Well, now it's time to change gears with VeloFix. With easy online booking, VeloFix sends a maintenance van straight to your door and provides same-day service with a smile. Head to VeloFix.com and use promo code LARUNDOWN15 for 15% off your tune-up. And if you happen to be looking for a bike mechanic gig, VeloFix is looking to expand their fleet in Quebec. Check out VeloFix.com to apply. Thank you for joining us on this episode of La Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to visit us at imarunner.ca. You can also let us know what you think and follow us on Instagram at La Rundown. Now take what you've learned and run with it.
La Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in St. Henry, Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi and hosted by Justin Pugliese.